You are now listening to Cult Cinema Catacombs. These films exist. And here are your hosts, Roy Buckingham, Andrew Farmer, and Courtney Robertson.
Just three times.
I'm just asking loose change.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm just doing my own research.
So, Madam Web has made its money back, and fuck that film.
Hey, it did it. Guess what else has? Mobius.
Mobius,
less problems is what they say.
At least Mobius has Matt Smith in another movie acting in that movie.
This has Sydney. Roy, tell me.
Sydney Sweeney is an American treasure.
You can say whatever you want about the movie as a whole, but those three heroes
that she kidnapped.
I prefer Sheroes. I prefer Sheroes.
Thank you. Herstory Month. Sorry, we're still in Herstory Month.
It is.
Those Sheroes in that movie got in there and did it. They made a movie where there was no movie.
They did. And at least one
props.
Of them
worst,
at least one of them did not want to make that movie, and she did it anyway.
Worst prequel ever.
Now, I refuse to take any. I will not hear your slander against this film.
That is the lowest of bars.
But I will say this. After the movie was over, I suddenly had a craving for a Pepsi.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And I didn't want to open it properly. I just wanted to go like this and just fiddle around with it.
Who is Dakota
Johnson's agent? I hope she fired.
She fired them.
Did Emma Roberts fire her agent for that film too? Because I mean, they wasted Emma Roberts in that movie.
Well, but I think the setup was for Emma Roberts and to be in later movies,
which is not okay.
They're trying to Hellcat her.
It depends on how much more money this makes. I don't care what kind of press you get. It's already within a month. It made its money back, Roy.
That's all they give a shit about. Fuck that film. So out of all the films I choose to watch while I'm waiting for jury duty, I chose Madam Web.
Were they not streaming Loose Change? jury duty?
No, and they weren't.
Or are you just uninterested in asking questions?
Yeah, do you not want to ask questions?
They also weren't streaming Roar as well. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll just watch Madam Web. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, come on. Give it a break. What do you want from a movie? What do you want? What do you want from a movie?
Come on.
A plot?
Go watch one of the Marvel movies.
I want special effects that look like they weren't done by Ralph Wiggums.
Listen, I'm telling you, these are the Sony Spider-Man Spider-Verse movies are the Roger Corman directed straight to video. Like, they are not you get Battle Beyond the Stars and you get Star Wars. This is Battle Beyond the Stars. This is not even
Battle Beyond the Stars. Sure, this is Star Crash.
But tell me. So in the midst of that though, tell me that my boy Adam Scott didn't do everything in his power to make this movie into something.
He is a charisma monster.
Yeah, he is. He did everything he could to make this a viable film.
But I want to know who edited this, who did the special effects, and who was the real voice for our villain, because that was not his voice. It was
Courtney.
Courtney's like, me.
Courtney Messi. They had Messi come in.
We're buddies, so. Yeah.
The extreme, close-ups that happened where it was not even, a zoom-in or anything. It's like, you're here, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, it's right in front of me. I was like, what the fuck was with that?
Yeah.
But I will say, the one thing I do appreciate about this film is that this is the first film I've ever seen where somebody died. It was because they were, spoiler alert, killed by Pepsi.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been millions.
Yeah. I mean, they tried with Michael.
Joan Crawford is vindicated.
Yes, there we go.
They tried to kill Michael live. They couldn't do it. They missed that assassination attempt. And plus all the people they've just killed to farm water to make people pay for it. So good job, Pepsi.
True.
So, as
so anyway, yeah, how was jury duty?
As I mentioned, I was watching that during jury duty. So this was my first time ever doing jury duty in Dallas County. And I, when I got the alert, I was like, oh, great, I got picked. I didn't want to go, but let me tell you, I'm glad that I did. Because, man, I had a show put on for me. So I had to go to the courthouse that is on the other side of the highway in the seedy part of town. And if I would have been picked for the jury, it was going to be an attempted murder domestic abuse case. Which we will get to more on that in a minute. So I get into the building and I go through, you know, all of the security and everything, and I gather into the room. Now, I was told that one of the things is going to be shown is like this video about how it's important to do jury duty, and then they were going to have everybody announce their aims and everything like that. No, they foregoed all of that pomp and circumstance and was like, okay, everybody in the room, you are all going to be sent someplace today. And we're like, fuck. And just as they're getting ready to get us all situated and go, every single computer system crashed.
Good. No, that's, yeah, no, it's perfect. So that's the government at work.
No.
That was, like, just set the mood right there. So while they took an hour and a half to get the computer systems back up, Miss Thing, I guess I can describe her, came up to the bench and was like, excuse me, because the systems are down, I think I need to go. And they're like, well, why do you, what type of an emergency situation do you have? She goes, I have appointments that I have to make.
She, okay, had, a, she had a cake.
This is un-American.
It's un-American.
She didn't know there was going to be a parade coming through.
Yeah. Even better.
These take the American flags
these,
away.
These appointments that she needed to meet were for high-class clients in Plano because she's their beautician.
Is this that lady, that same lady from COVID? Did you meet the COVID lady? Because you might have met that COVID lady.
No, totally different woman. Totally different.
There's probably more than one in Plano.
And she thought that her hairdresser clients were very, very importante.
Well, unless she got an extreme tan, this is not the same person. But she felt that this should have excused her for jury duty. And she's like, but you don't understand. I have to go make these. Literally, she said, I have to make these women beautiful in order for them to go out in public. That was an exact quote from her.
Well, sure.
Her ass was sat down.
Yeah, that's good.
But even better.
A second COVID bitch hit the courthouse. Just asking questions.
She's just asking questions.
Heavy set woman then gets up to the bench and literally says, I can't do jury duty. I'm too fat to do jury duty. My fat body will not fit in one of the juror box chairs. You need to excuse me. Without hesitation, because she said this out loud for everybody in the room to hear. And you just have to go. This blonde little twink then stands up and says, honey, I'm too gay to do this shit, but you see my ass here.
Your jury duty sounds fun.
Yeah.
Which the guy who's like...
Your jury duty was written by John Hughes. Oh, I want to go to that jury duty.
This is just the beginning. So, you know, as soon as that happens, of course, we're all cracking up. But then the guy gets on the mic, says, both of you sit down or we'll find you in contempt. Is that real?
I thought that was just a thing they said on Law & Order.
I didn't even think it was
real
when they said it on Law & Order. Like, when they say it, like... they're going to find somebody contempt like in those big trials because they never do it. So I didn't think it was a real thing.
The gay person sat down and then the heavyset woman said, I can't sit. These chairs are too small for my ass. So they took her to a lounge to wait in.
I don't want to ask this question. I'm just asking questions.
We're just asking questions. No wrong answers.
You're right. Roy, you are a full-figured woman.
Yes. I am.
Is she like a lot bigger than you? Because she would have to be a lot bigger than you for this to make any kind of sense. Like
have
a lot bigger.
Have you seen the original illustrations in the Alice Adventures in Wonderland books?
Oh, no. This is going in a horrible direction, but yes, I'm afraid to answer.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum and Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Okay, so spherical. Okay, okay. And again, yeah. This is not body shaming.
Imagine taking Tweedledee and Tweedledum and cramming them together.
Okay. Okay, I just needed that for my to know, because like if they're like
and
she's 200 pounds or and whatever.
And then put them after cramming them together into, I'm not exaggerating here, Lululemon knockoff yoga pants to show off all the lumps.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for answering. I just needed to know.
So that's happening while I'm trying to watch Madam Web. So that's all going on.
Maybe you didn't get to watch Madam Web the same way I did.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't have the same experience that Andrew had.
Yeah, you didn't have. I took Nicole Kidman's advice, and I went to the theater and saw it the way it's meant to be seen.
No, I watched it on my phone. The way we're supposed to watch Dune is how I watched it. Madam Web on my phone.
Did you off topic? Did you see that that Threads screenshot that I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a
that
meme.
Was hilarious.
It was a meme about Dune posted by Jet Tila. He is one of us, and I am happy. He is a nerd.
Someday I will join the ranks.
ranks of what?
Of people who know things about Dune.
No,
I cannot wait to learn about the magician Paul and his friend Robert California.
I never want you to see it. I just want this tangential lore that you're building for yourself. So let down.
That Arrakis smells like eggs.
I don't know what Arrakis is. I assume that's the name of the sandworm, and I'm going to stick with that.
No, Arrakis is the name of the band that comes out to perform in the middle of the...
Okay, so he's like the Doof Warrior, the guy in Mad Max that has the fire-spitting guitar.
Imagine the Polyphonic Spree, only Christy Granola.
Okay, I can do that. I'm from the DFW area, so I can get a good image.
That's Arrakis. So... they finally, we had a report for jury duty at 8:00. At 9:00, they're finally like, okay, we're going to just send you on a half hour break. Just be back here by 9:30. So I'm, you know,
you were there at 8:00.
Yeah.
And then at 9:00, they gave you a break.
Yeah.
Because
nothing was working.
I guess, but like what made them think that things were going to work in a half hour?
I don't know. So
they basically didn't want to look at you for a half hour.
Go away for a minute.
So we come back at 9:30. The computer systems are still down. By 10:33, which is when I finally finished the goddamn movie also, the systems...
I feel like you had a good experience like watching it.
Really feels like you saw it in a subpar environment.
Yeah, I need to... I'll buy it for you on 4K.
The systems finally went back up. And then immediately it was like cattle call. They're like... they didn't even bother calling names. They immediately, because we had three seated sections, they went, okay, the people on my right, you all are going downstairs to the main courthouse. And thank God I was not in the right. So they got sent down to where the big statewide cases happen. So you know they're feeling good. And what I love is that one of them that was inside that group that went down there was, I need to make people pretty.
Yes!
You could be tied Barbie. Up for like 3 months on this case.
So then they got to my group, which was the center, and they sent me to the 7th floor for the state district cases. So that meant that the group that was on the person's left, they were just going to go to the county simple misdemeanor whatevers. So Fat Bitch went to that one because she was in that. So
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with your. I mean, I wasn't there. I was just surprised.
So
strong.
So we get called in that group. We get upstairs, and then we are now waiting again. And I'm seeing the lawyers going in and out of the room. One lawyer looked like Ichabod Crane. I'm not gonna lie. like Ichabod Crane.
Wait, like a Johnny Depp or like the cartoon or
the Disney cartoon Ichabod
Crane. Okay. I just wanted to I want you to paint me a word picture and I want to make sure I'm getting the right picture.
So then, the hot one.
The hot one. Yeah.
Then the most stereotypical Texan I've ever seen comes walking out with his briefcase.
Toby Keith was there?
10-gallon hat made out of felt, gray suit with a checkered tie, and tobacco stains on his white mustache.
Small town lawyer, man.
Doesn't he know that it is spring and you are not supposed to wear a felt cowboy hat in the spring?
Apparently he didn't give a fuck. Because
he didn't wipe the tobacco off his mustache. Oh, so
and cowboy boots. And I swear, when he came walking out, I heard him say, "I gotta go wrestle up some grub."
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm in Texas."
Did he happen to be a hyper chicken?
No.
Okay, I was just curious because it sounds a lot like the hyper chicken.
Do we know if he wrestled up some grub?
I don't know. We don't
just
know.
Just asking questions.
We don't know. The bailiff finally came out and called us all in and sat us in different seats. I'm actually sitting in the jury box.
So it was comfortable?
Yes. She would have fit. Her fat ass would have fit in that seat.
Okay, we're asking the questions. This is important for the podcast.
It was a comfortable seat, unlike the fucking pews that everyone else had to sit in. I was glad I didn't have to sit in that because they were these wood bench pews, and I'm in the box. And so I'm thinking, with the number of people that they called in, I'm number 76 out of 80. So I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not going to get called. But no, that's not how they do the vetting process. They do the vetting process for this in a completely different way. But before we even get to the vetting process, as soon as we sit down, the judge introduces himself and says, "Okay, we're going to lunch. Lunch is 90 minutes. We'll see you back at 1:15.
You are already at jury duty longer than anyone I've ever known in my life.
So I go to lunch downstairs because there's nowhere really to go outside of the courthouse. And I have my overpriced burrito with pork in it and what tasted like 2-day-old chopped onions and my Fritos and my soda. And I discover that, yes, indeed, in the state of Texas, you cannot watch TikTok in federal buildings because it has got blocks all over it. You also cannot watch YouTube in federal buildings. And you also cannot watch and go on anything where you'll be able to report news. So
no fun. No fun whatsoever in federal buildings.
I could watch Adam Webb again if I wanted to, because I was allowed to do the streaming with that. But I was like, no, never mind. So
we weren't allowed to watch news.
So we finally get
all
back
over this thing.
We finally get back into the courtroom and we get introduced to everybody. First, we get introduced to the stenographer. Now, have any of you seen the TikTok video of Miss Manager and CEO who goes, "You are one of my elite employees"?
Sure.
That was her stenographer.
That was her.
Yeah, it looked exactly like her. I was like, oh, my God. No. And so we had her walk in. She got introduced. And then we got introduced to the lawyers. The prosecuting attorney, the best way I could describe the way she looked is she had a look on her face like when the evil queen from Snow White got bad news. And every time somebody would talk, she did the surprise groundhog turnaround at them, literally looking at them like,
That was a beautiful impression, by the way. I'm really impressed. And that's what impressions they're supposed to do.
She was terrifying everybody in there. And then the name, I'm not going to say the name for privacy reasons, but I will tell you guys the name after we're done recording, because I got to tell you the name of the defense guy. But we get introduced to him, we get introduced to his lawyer, and then suddenly we notice this little kid sitting in the corner. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, shit, this is, you know, domestic abuse. Maybe he's a witness. No, that's the judge's grandson that he brought to court that day because it was take your child to work day, apparently, or something. I don't know. But he was like, yeah, he's got nothing to do, so he's come today to watch me work. And I'm like, you brought a fucking kid to a attempted murder domestic abuse case?
You know, what the hell? No, it's cute. It's fun.
So
yeah, it's good stuff.
Then begins the vetting process. And how they did the vetting process was they would, instead of asking us individual questions, they would do group questions to see how we would respond to it. And when we found out what type of case this was going to be, of course, you know, people start saying, you know, this might trigger me, and I've been in something like this, and blah, 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 blah. People start telling their stories. And all of a sudden, Dude Bro.
Oh, yeah, Dude Bro. Okay, I'm ready for this.
Covered in tattoos, raises his hand, and the lawyers are like, yes. He's like, y'all just a bunch of fucking pussies. Immediately, the judge pounding the gavel already. It's like,
I can already tell you this man's favorite band. We'll do it later. We'll do it later after you're done.
He's like, sir, there is no swearing on my court. I'm sorry, Your Honor, but I got the shit kicked out of me when I was a kid, too. And you don't hear me fucking complaining about it so I can get the fuck out of jury duty.
I like that Roy's impression of this guy is almost Scottish. It is so close to Scottish.
It's like 75% Scottish, 25% Emeril Lagasse.
Yes, that's true. That's so
then
true.
Then the judge is pounding.
It's Emeril McGossy.
So the judge is pounding on his gavel again and tells him, one more time and you're being arrested. So Guy is silent for the rest of the vetting process. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, he's going home. They're not going to pick him. And then a woman raises her hand. This was the final straw for me. I had to literally just lower my head, bite my knuckles. And I think this is probably what got this. Plus also me saying that when it comes to my trust of cops, I give a 3 out of 5 is probably why
that's
I was
high.
Not chosen. Yeah, it was high.
You were lying. You were lying for court.
I was like, because I was trying to gauge what could happen to get me to actually do this case. Because, you know, I wanted the tea. I was just like, I am now invested. The true crime fan in me now wants to know what the fuck is in this case. So I was like, maybe I'll be safe and say 3. But no, that wasn't the magic number. But this woman all of a sudden raises her hand. And she's like, I don't think I could be a part of this case because all men are scum.
She's not wrong.
Especially gay men.
Gay
men, they're nasty. Gay men will make you think that they love you and that they're in love with you. And then you go and you go out with them and then you find out that they're just tricking you.
A question.
Yes.
Did they
Your
say
Honor.
Anything? Yeah, I keep raising my hand. I don't know why I'm doing that. Is there any indicator of anybody's sexuality in this case at this point?
No.
I just wanted to be clear. Okay. So she just decided she wanted to do a type 5 about how she's been tricked by a gay man before.
Exactly. So she gave that hot take based on some past experience. That's when I'm immediately biting my knuckle and just I can't. I'm like, I'm going to cackle and just trying to keep my composure. But
you're so strong.
Yeah. I wasn't chosen.
I would have fallen apart 100 times.
I wasn't chosen, unfortunately. And like I said, part of me wanted to be a part of this court case. Surprisingly, Dude Bro and Miss I Hate Gay Men were not chosen either.
No.
I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked.
But that was my experience with jury duty. So It was actually entertaining.
I'm obsessed. Can I tell you what the Dude Bros favorite band is? Because I already know.
What is it?
It is Buck Cherry.
Yeah, it would be Buck Cherry.
Maybe Disturbed.
No, it's either, and I think Buck Cherry's the right answer. I want to be clear about this.
I was really proud of it.
Yeah.
Based off
of Bubba, let go. Buck Cherry is. It might be Breaking Benjamins, but I think it's Buck Cherry.
Based off of his tattoos and his accent and his clothing choice, I would also throw in there maybe Disturbed.
Hey, yeah. That was my other one. I also thought maybe Trapped.
Yeah.
With no ED, but just a second T.
Yeah, Trapped.
But on the down low, he's a member of the BTS Army.
Now, Florida Georgia Line.
Florida Georgia Line.
Diamond Rio. Definitely Diamond Rio. Yeah, for sure Diamond Rio.
Diamond Rio since 2001.
You know.
Lone Star. That's who he is.
So, Marty Rowe of Diamond Rio from Lebanon, Ohio. I don't think I've told you this
really?
One. He was at my graduation. I was best friends with his niece. So, like, they hung out in Lebanon. So, I know every word to every Diamond Rio song. And we would go for free when they were at, like, the Kings Island's amphitheater. They would play it, like, every year. And we would just go for free and hang out with them. That was our famous person.
That's your Polyphonic Spree. Every year we could go to the park and see Polyphonic Spree. You get Diamond Rio.
It's not the same, Courtney. It's not the same.
No, because with the Polyphonic Spree, you go and see how many more members have joined that cult.
Yeah, you can't really enjoy the music because you're too busy going, well, last time there were 28. This time there's, there's 10.
There are 17 people playing the triangle in this band.
See, that's one of my favorite Rocky Horror Picture Show local jokes when with the shadow cast is the scene when after Frankenfurter is killed and he's under the curtain and Rocky goes to uncover him and then you hear that angelic music starting. All of a sudden you hear the crowd go, "No, don't! The Polyphonic Spree's under there." And you cover it, then you hear the angelic voices.
That's fun. I love it.
Buck Cherry.
So speaking of Buck Cherry, we're watching
something else from 2001.
Yeah, we're watching a documentary about 9/11.
3,000 people also died because of Buck Cherry.
Yeah, a second Buck Cherry is hit the Billboard top 50.
So now that we are so close and we're just about to watch it, I'll give you a little bit of information. I've been very cagey about it because I really want you to go in as completely open as possible.
I will say this. When I saw the artwork for it, I'm going to go there. I'm going to say that it looked like it was Rosie O'Donnell doing yellow face.
That's wild because this is a white woman.
Look on Andrew's face. The look on his face. Oh my god, he's like, no.
I wasn't quite sure which direction I should go.
Back to riding in the bus with my sister.
It was a roller coaster, but there was a concrete wall halfway down the hill, is what it was. I was like, no, and then I just died on the inside. I passed.
So, all I will tell you, this is a documentary from 2011, so right about 10 years after. And it is the heart-wrenching story, and I know I'm bringing this down after the joys of jury duty. It's the story of Tanya Head and her tale escaping the South Tower and what she witnessed and the injuries she suffered and includes the loss of her fiancé, Dave. And she actually ended up becoming the president of the World Trade Survivors Network. And I'm willing to tell you literally nothing else about this movie.
Nice. Okay. She still looks like Rosie O'Donnell doing yellow face. I'll tell you that. I blame that on the artist who designed the poster.
Yeah, artwork. I guess it must be on the artist. It is a fascinating movie. I stumbled upon it randomly pretty soon after it came out. It was probably like 2012 or 2013 when I saw it. And I was just mouth agape for a solid hour watching it as things happened, and I just let it wash over me, and I just want it to wash over you.
So is this like a mouth agape reaction to watching like Tiger King or Quiet on the Set type level of mouth gape? Or
it is closer to Tiger King than Quiet on Set. Quiet on Set is mouth agape going, wow, I would really love to punch a lot of people because of the horrible things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think with Tiger King, I'm not sure that I ever felt the need to punch anyone as much as I was just shocked, especially since 10 years ago this month I did meet the man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
yeah, you were
going to
be in his cabinet, weren't you?
Yeah,
I was.
Did he rant about Carol Baskin with you?
He did not, but there was a mandatory magic show before we got to see any of the animals.
It. God, it's so good.
That's not a joke.
God, it's
literally
so good.
They were like, okay, if you go into that tent, there's the magic show. And we were like, oh, well, we didn't get tickets to a magic show. We were just going to go to the zoo.
Oh, you bought tickets to
the
magic show.
And they were like, yeah, and literally the words that were said to me were, the magic show is mandatory.
It's compulsory. It's a compulsory magic show.
And like, it was pretty good. Like, God. He was decent at magic, but like, it was.
Was it him?
Yeah, it was him.
It was him.
We watched him do magic with a full gun strapped to his hip the whole time. And
that's the way all magic should be done, by the way.
There was a
lot. That's just the Texas State Fair doing a magic show right there.
this was a lot of whispering throughout the day of, hey, does he have a gun? No, it's not. It's probably like a tranquilizer thing. I've never seen a hand tranquilizer gun before. That's fine. It's probably fine. Just go see the camel.
If he wasn't in prison because of all of this and everything, you could have went back and told him about Roar.
I could have.
Oh, I'm sure he knows.
I think he's probably
he
a big fan.
So fucking mad every time anybody talks to him about Roar.
There's
so
no way.
Mad.
No, we went like right before things started hitting the fan, and I know it's completely not related to The Woman Who Wasn't There, an excellent film on Amazon Prime, by the way. So okay. If you have Prime, you can watch it for free. But it's also on Pluto, and I think you can get it from the Redbox app for free. It's on a bunch of places.
Yeah, I found it on Tubi. So.
But ours was like right as stuff was starting to hit the fan. I believe it was about 3 weeks before that person got his arm ripped off by the tiger.
Jesus.
Through the cage. It was like, ooh. Like I was like in it. We were like the last people.
Ooh.
Really weird experience. It was a weird day.
So were you looking for yourself? Were you looking for yourself in the footage in the documentary?
A little bit. Like I've seen, I had extended interactions with people who are talking heads in it. Like,
wow.
I'll have to send you some pictures because they also gave us a CD at the end of it with like all of the pictures that were taken.
I thought it was going to be his music.
His music is involved.
Nice.
It is.
Nice. Can you upload? Is that CD able to be ripped and uploaded like to our YouTube channel? Because that would be great.
I'm going to look into that.
That would make a great video for
or you could just play it on your TV while you sit in front of it and sing Whose Land Is This? While it's playing.
There you go.
I met that one. No, they all let right. They let me in a cage with wolves. Like, it's really not allowed. There's a lot of things that I look back
they
and I'm
let
like, wow.
Me. They let me in a cage.
No, they opened it and they said, you can come in. And I went like this, behind the ears of a wolf. That was me scratching right behind the ears of a wolf, for those of you who don't have video.
Good space work.
Thank you.
Wow.
I held a baby bear. Shouldn't have done that.
I don't think any of what you did is technically legal.
No.
But
probably not, but we had a Groupon, so.
That'd be hell.
I love the fact that this was done with a Groupon.
Yeah. I love the fact that he sold Groupons.
We went to the video game museum after.
Wow, what a day. Tiger King and the video game museum.
It was a good date. 10 years ago today, we got engaged. I love you, Craig.
Were you married?
No, it was we were early in our dating. I guess it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I guess it was right around the time we got engaged, actually.
Was it yours or his idea?
So we woke up and we're, you know how you wake up and you're just like jacking around on your phones?
Sure. Yeah.
And it was the style of the time to scan Groupon to see what was happening. And he was like, hey, do you want to go to a zoo today? And I was like, yes. I love a zoo. I will always say yes to a zoo. I love a zoo. And he was like, cool, there's one. It's in Oklahoma, but it's like an hour and a half, so it's not that far. And I was like, okay. And so we just like went. We didn't know anything about it.
This is great. Good.
I'm glad. Love how everything of this episode has nothing to do with the subject of...
So it's anyway,
a, it's a hard
when the towels fell.
Yeah. Let me ask this question. How safe are 9/11 jokes going to be for the second part of this episode?
Oh, Jesus.
Do we need to tell the story of the extremely distasteful sketch that I did, or do we save that for the second
save
half?
It. Save that it. That needs to be in the next episode.
It was when I was in high school. Everybody's an idiot in high school, okay? And it's not that bad.
Who cares?
That's the second half story.
It was in
2004, so it was like a long time, okay?
Comedy had to come back some point.
Right.
That's what I'm going to say.
All right,
I want to watch it, I guess.
Let's dive in this thing.
Let's go watch this super feel-good movie.
All right, gang, we'll be right back after we're done watching The Woman Who Wasn't There.
Woo! Oh my God. That's not appropriate.
The first thing I felt was the air sucked out of my lungs, like a change in pressure. I was flying through the air from the impact. I was just flying. Then I remember the warmth from the explosion. I was smelling my own skin burning.
We had all been through horrible things, but Tanya's was just head and shoulders above anything else that any of us had gone through.
That day, I didn't just lose Dave, I lost myself.
She had been in denial for years about her husband dying.
By helping others getting involved, it helps carry your own burden.
She was fabulous.
I had many conversations with Tanya. She gave me a lot of support like nobody else had.
She went through so much, yet she's a survivor. She's a survivor.
It was a couple of days before the 6th anniversary that a New York Times reporter was going to do a story on her. She was frantic.
You're gonna do it.
This was a weirdly like circa 9/11. Right?
Yeah, considering we're not near September.
No. So before we begin, I have a question to ask everybody.
Okay.
Are blood clots vampire gummies?
I'm sorry, what?
Are blood clots just vampire gummies?
They are.
Yeah.
The look on Courtney's face. I broke her. Yes, I broke her.
We have been recording for 35 seconds.
So
I broke her. If it wasn't this, it was that Bob Dylan musical.
Oh, yes! God, the Bob Dylan musical.
So
I don't walk out of plays, okay? I'm there. To support the performers.
Speaking of 9/11.
Yeah, basically.
Speaking of disasters, yeah.
I have literally only ever walked out of two plays in my life. And the one I saw last night was one of them. It was Girl from the North Country. It is supposedly a Bob Dylan jukebox musical. But it is set in Duluth, which does make sense. In a boarding house in the 30s. And that's about all the plot there is.
So it's not, it's the city of Duluth, not like the trading company? Yeah,
it's
not
the trading company. In a Duluth trading company.
I'm glad Roy and I were exactly on the same page with that.
You know, it's literally just, there's a guy and he owns a boarding house and the bank's going to foreclose because it's the 30s. And his wife has some sort of unnamed dementia where sometimes she's slow and sometimes she's fast. And it doesn't really seem to really settle on what that dementia actually is. And there are people who rent rooms and nothing really happens.
Well, you know,
like, really, nothing happens.
Maybe it's because the stars didn't pre-order their food and beverages before the show started. Like you should do at Cinemark.
You're supposed to do that at Cinemark. You're right.
We'll talk about Cinemark before the Aristocrats, for sure. I'm very angry, but I want to know more about the musical you walked out of.
I mean, to say that, I mean, because you walked out of Love Never Dies, and I don't blame you.
I did.
I tried watching Love Never Dies, and God, no.
It's really bad. It's worse than this. Girl from the North Country is not as bad as Love Never Dies. That's literally the worst musical I've ever seen. No.
And I've seen some turds. I saw Lestat pre-Broadway.
Ooh, run. Wow.
Yeah, I've seen some turds.
Basically, there's a character named Marianne who was abandoned as a child, baby, in this boarding house, and the people who own the boarding house decide to raise her. And she is African-American, and the people who own the place is white. So there's like a thing there, and everybody's weird about it because it's 1930s. And Marianne is pregnant, and she won't say who the father is. And
every time it's an Ari Aster movie.
Somebody asks all the time, and she says, well, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Tee-hee.
Is that a line in the musical?
Yeah, literally, yes. That's a line in the musical. Jesus. And she meets a boxer named Joseph Cook, and this mysteriously pregnant Mary Ann and Joseph run away together to have the baby. It's all...
And that all happens act one?
No, that's what I ended up finding on Reddit after we left.
And they walk into it. They walk into an attic, and Patti LuPone is standing there with a 12-foot penis.
When you walked out, did you acknowledge anything, or did you just go for the door and make it outside?
Yeah, did you do like Jeffrey Lyons walking out of Clerks Part Two during the donkey, the donkey show thing? Like, this is sad. No, this sucks. Bye.
We did. Here's the other thing that's very annoying is there's a doctor that is sometimes at the boarding house that has nothing to do with the plot except for to act as a very convoluted narrator. And when I say narrator, he literally stands at a microphone and directly addresses the audience and says, da da da, here's this guy and here's all the stuff that you need to know about them, instead of showing us, because, you know, audiences love being told a story.
That would get in the way of the top tier Bob Dylan songs that you got to
hear. Oh yeah, stuff I've definitely heard before.
What I want to know is, did everybody, when they sing their song, did they sing in like this?
I wish it would have been a welcome, refreshing change. No, this doctor at one point says there was no room at the inn.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
So Marianne and Joe had to leave.
Oh God.
So you can see why I got to act one and I looked at my lovely spouse, producer Craig, and I said, so? And he stood up and all I saw was this. I saw just a hand. And so I took the hand and we left. I did make some security guards really uncomfortable on the way out, though, so that was fun.
Nice.
Can you tell me what that was?
Yes, there was a bottle of some sort of sparkling wine that they were trying to help the bar open, but they couldn't have, I don't know if they were bad at it or what the exact situation was, but I walked up and there's two security guards struggling over this bottle trying to get it open, and somebody behind me said, oh, what's happening? And I said, oh, they just got engaged. because I'm weird. And both of the cops stopped and looked at me like, what is wrong with you?
you had a lot of energy that you needed to
direct. I did.
You were punchy and needed to just get that energy.
I needed to release it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been jacked on allergy meds all week.
So that's what
I'm all jacked up on allergy meds. I went to this show.
That's what you missed the 50th anniversary screening of Young Frankenstein for.
Yep.
And I said that as we could have gone to Young Frankenstein.
I mean,
but we're here for a reason.
Here's the thing, though. You now walked away from that situation with a story, a decent story.
I did.
So
he did a decent story about how I made a male and a female cop really uncomfortable that day.
I'm curious as to why they were. I have a lot of questions about that specific situation.
I don't know why they were helping of all people.
Yeah,
honestly,
I would have loved. I would have loved it as you were walking by, you all of a sudden would have like evoked that one woman from my jury duty going, you know, you just can't trust men, because especially gay men, because they make you fall in love with them and that they want you, and then they just, you can't have them.
I need that woman to write a memoir.
I need that woman to write a musical.
Also that. You can use Bob Dylan music if you want, because it's not...
Apparently it's...
Apparently they just let anybody have it.
No, all right, her musical will be set to the music of Jewel.
Yeah.
Yes. No, still absolutely...
Who will save your soul? Not a gay man.
Not a gay man. No, my Love Never Dies rant is a rant for another day. Sure. I've already had two rants this month, so.
So on that note, 9/11.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of disasters.
Keeping it high and upbeat.
I got to get this out of the way first about this documentary, as twisted as it is. I was so distracted by the fact that our main subject of this documentary, she had the exact same hairdo as Marcy Darcy from Married with Children. And that distracted me the entire time. I was just like, is she going to bitch at Al Bundy at some point here? I mean, come on.
You could see now why I was reluctant to tell you much of anything about it.
You know, as I was watching it, memory of this story started coming back about, you know, this woman who lied about everything. I didn't realize, though, that the story went as deep as it
keeps going.
And the fact that she had the audacity to show her face in the area on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, I was just like, girl, what's wrong with you?
First of all, the opening music sort of is pretty weird, right?
So is the fact that they had AI-generated art back then.
How did they get AI-generated art? How long ago was this? 15 years ago?
2012, probably, something like that.
Oh. AI art didn't exist yet. I mean...
John Carter.
Yes, exactly. John Carter.
Yeah, AI art, generative art did not exist yet. I don't know where this came from. I don't know how this was animated.
It looks like that, though. It really does. It looks like it went through Dolly. Hey, you guys remember Yahoo Groups?
This is Yahoo Groups, the movie.
It was. They were like, this is how we got together through Yahoo Groups. And I was like, oh, if I was around... almost anyone in my life, I'd have to stop and turn and go, so Yahoo Groups was this thing. And it
oh, you mean like, I was waiting like meetup.com? Okay, so meetup.com.
Yes, okay, let me back up. Yeah.
I was waiting for them to say that they generated their website on GeoCities.
Right.
Yeah, because you know that they probably evoked GeoCities.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They definitely used them. I'm sure they all had their own
annoying GIF artwork that they stole from other websites and put on their website. But,
I use Angel Fire.
Wow.
Angel Fire, wow.
Yeah, that's what I make on.
Yeah, the coins is what it was. no, I thought, aside from the weird music at the very beginning, they did a really good job of kind of keeping their cards close to their chest for a lot of it. They really let the story be the story for a long time. And I thought that was interesting. For those of you who don't know, those of you listening, this is the story of a woman named Tanya Head who had a harrowing experience on 9/11 in the World Trade Center, and how she was there when the buildings came down and one of the buildings collapsed on her while she was in the middle of being rescued. And
she got thrown into the marble wall.
The marble wall.
With the bandana saved her.
Yes.
I've watched this twice, by the way.
It's fascinating. I've seen it so many times over the years. It's so fascinating. Yeah, she says she was rescued by Wells Crowder, who was the man in the red bandana. If you don't know who that is and you're a youth listening to this, you should Google it because he was kind of an amazing hero. It turns out she made up every single bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none
including
of it
was her real. Name.
For what seems like no reason?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to play devil's advocate, she lived in Barcelona. So I guess that's the reason why she made it up, was because life in Barcelona, as we know, is so boring.
Yeah, so boring and uninteresting.
I
got to
get out of Barcelona.
I got to get out of Barcelona.
Can't be here anymore. I've got to go to New York and work for Merrill Lynch.
Which she didn't do either. Yeah,
she also didn't do.
My favorite story in all of this is it's the positioning of the situation. It's the setup for the story, because nothing happened. You're going to hear 100 things that happened to this woman from the position of all of these different friends of hers. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite one that never happened because of the setup to the thing that never happened. She told her friend that she, and I forget what hotel it was, but a bunch of survivors of 9/11, the families, were having a meeting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to know how their family died, is the way it's positioned in the thing. So she was going to go talk to him about that. And then she called her friend from the thing where she was talking to the families about how their families died, crying on a couch, apparently, because they were being mean to her because she survived and she was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Like, that is the... I don't know if I could believe that. I don't know if anybody could be convincing enough to me to believe that to be true.
Yeah.
You
know?
Like, if you would have you called and told me that, I'm like, bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's not true.
Right. No, it's so... Man, it's so fascinating to me. Just this whole, everything about her is so fascinating. I'm kind of obsessed with it.
And because the intricacies...
Yes.
That she went through. I mean, this was some Saltburn level shit that she was doing in this life.
And if you look at everything that she actually did do, and you take away the fact that, like, if she had done everything exactly the same, but had never said, I survived this attack.
Yeah.
She'd have a documentary about her right now about how she was a philanthropic hero.
Yeah, I watched the thing waiting for the end where they said how much money she stole or it was that she did. Nothing. Nope. She just really, really supported the survivors of 9/11 and built a community and put together events and did all of this stuff.
It was all charity.
Yeah, but for some reason felt that she had to put herself in the spotlight by being this survivor of 9/11. I think the one story that just blew my mind away the most was the explanation for the severed arm that got reattached. Well, she was claiming that it was just hanging by a piece of flesh, when in reality, it was like, what, an accident she had?
It was like a really horrible car accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Barcelona.
In Barcelona.
My understanding is they kind of got toonsized off the edge of
a beautiful
Barcelona cliff. And I was thinking, okay, well, maybe she's doing this because she had such a boring life in Barcelona. But no, apparently she was a spoiled, rotten kid who was treated like a princess and came from a really rich family.
Yeah, the only bad thing that ever happened to her there is that sometimes someone acknowledged that she was a fat-bodied person.
Yeah.
That's it. And most of the time, it wasn't even really a negative. It was just them saying it as a fact.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but... all of her friends are the hottest people I've ever seen in my life. Like, all of
that's
her...
That's just what Barcelona is.
That's just... why would you leave?
That's Barcelona. Why would you leave? Every woman in Barcelona is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Can confirm. Insanely attractive person. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I am a Barcelona 1. It's outrageous.
Can we all get shirts that say we are Barcelona 1?
No, I just, it made me want to think more and learn more about the psychology of trauma bonding.
Like, if she was from the middle of, let's say, Ohio, I would understand.
How dare you?
Wow.
On that note,
right in the middle,
I'm
going to
have
contest.
Lupe walk my dog.
Lupe's got the dog.
Oh, God,
I
Lupe.
I love that lady.
Lupe. Yeah.
Do you or do you not have a dog?
Have a dog.
Have a dog. Do
her
you?
Voice. I want her to be a talking head in every documentary forever. She's amazing. I love dogs.
I have met 3 people in 3 documentaries now this month that I think should rule the world. And that woman is one of them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the other ones as we go into those documentaries.
I can't wait.
I also love how there was when they were talking after they've talked to everybody, the varying levels of forgiveness and non-forgiveness that happened between everybody.
Yes.
It's like some people are like, yeah, I've moved on, I've forgiven, and other people are just like, screw that bitch. Yeah.
Well, that's what's super interesting about it. And I think this documentary is maybe a testament to the power of proper therapy. Because all these people had to have crazy therapy because they had a horrible, nightmarish thing happen to them. Not a single person in there. Like, some people were like, yeah, I've forgiven her. Some people are like, well, I don't forgive her. But nobody was like, hey, fuck her.
Yeah.
Not a single person. Every single person comes out looking like an absolute saint because of it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that that one friend that she was, like, really close friends to.
Blonde, with the long hair?
The one who had PTSD nightmares just from hearing her stories of what supposedly happened to her at 9/11. She's the one who I'm surprised who didn't say she can go fuck herself the most, because they were like the best of friends. She felt the most betrayed by her.
She said she still misses her.
Yeah. And she still misses her.
I didn't catch, by the way, and I know we're headed that direction, but I didn't catch the end until the second time I watched it.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Man, what a good ending.
She was charging at that camera. Yeah. She's like, no.
Gave us enough to know it was definitely her. It was not some lady that looked like her. Because she could have just been like, what? And acted like she wasn't her. And you could be like, well, it's New York City. There's millions of people.
7 million people in New York City.
Yeah, like the idea that 2 regular-looking women could look similar is not.
No, she went off on her like Bjork on a reporter at an airport.
I was like, oh shit, because I was just like, I think the last time I had like gotten up to do something like right at the end, must have turned away from the TV and didn't catch it. And then I was sitting here watching. I was like, oh, they. I thought we were gonna find out like she died or something. You know,
right?
Something, just some kind of conclusion, some kind of ending. No, this is like, there she is. She's right there.
She's still in New York. She probably is still there today. It is pretty weird that even after all this time, seeing the footage from the towers coming down is still a little bit visceral. I was still like, oh,
yeah,
those are still in my brain. I was a kid, so like,
I do want to mention that. And this is a little taffy pittish, but I want to know, like, if you guys have a take on this. I think we've talked before that I was not in the United States for 9/11.
Oh, yeah. Tell the listeners that.
Yeah, I was in Rome. So I was kind of visiting an extended stay in Rome in my much younger days because of a young lady.
So cool.
I was kicking around Rome with an Irish expat. Drinking and sitting on flower stands and watching bar clearing brawls at the Australian pub.
That was
like my nightly appearance. That was like my nightly, but I wasn't here. So that day, what was it? 2 or 3 in the afternoon, that time zone.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's around. I'm just walking down the street and nobody's in the streets of Rome. And I walk by a bar and they have a TV on and everybody's in there and everybody's in front of that TV. And I wander in and I'm like, what the fuck? And I look at the TV and I see it, but I don't share the same. You're talking about trauma bond. I don't share the same trauma bond because I wasn't here for a full like week and a half.
Oh, so you missed like the intensity.
I came back to a different country.
Yeah, you missed people actually liking you. You missed people actually for a short period of time actually liking Giuliani.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a minute.
I left with 8 water bottles, whatever I wanted in my carry-on. No security check, really. You know, when I flew out, I flew back literally into a different country. I flew into the airport. Wow. 2 of my friends met me, and they're like, go, we got to go. We got to go now. Because they're like, we can't be in here. Like, we don't know what's going on. And the country had 100% changed in the week I was gone. It was a completely different country when I came back. That was my, that's my trauma, but I wasn't here for the trauma of 9/11. I was getting free food because I was American in Italy. That sounds,
and they were like, I'm so sorry. Something horrible happened to your family, probably.
Yeah. Or just like, you're an American. I'm so sorry. Every place I went, they were just giving me stuff. And I'm like, I don't get this. Like, I'm not. And then I came back. And I'm like, this is a big fucking deal. Like, but I wasn't here when it happened. I didn't see it on TV. I didn't see I didn't see jets, you know, military jets coming out of Wright Pad Air Force Base, which is right here. Like, I didn't see any of that. So it's a weird experience for me. And I feel like an asshole for it every time. But I just don't have that same visceral level as everybody else does. And I think it's weird, right?
Yeah.
But I feel about it. I feel bad about it. I feel bad about it.
You shouldn't. I mean, I was cured. I did it.
Do you feel bad?
Have you tried not?
Have you tried don't do it? Have you tried, this is my book, it's called Don't Do It.
That's what Hakuna Matata
is. Still an audio medium for now. This gag for both of us didn't work.
Like, hey, you know what? Nobody needs to know that I'm holding up an imaginary book right now. This is for us. This is our secret gig.
Good nice space work, though. I like it.
So there is an update as of 2021 on her real name, Alicia Esteve Head. She now owns a renovation company in Barcelona.
Oh, she went back?
So she went back.
Apparently, she went back to Barcelona, except for in September 8th of 2012, she was photographed in a city of Barcelona and apparently was not happy about her photograph being...
That was in Barcelona?
That was in Barcelona, So she wasn't happy about her photo being taken in 2021 in Barcelona. I'm just like, girl, get over it. You're in your own country.
Yeah. Like, nobody even remembers who you are at this point, except for the 3 of us who are obsessed with this documentary now.
Except for people who go real deep into Tubi.
Yes.
Something that I'm surprised the documentary didn't cover, though. At least I don't remember them covering this in documentary. In February of 2008, an anonymous email was sent from a Spanish account to the members of the World Trade Center Survivors Network claiming that Head committed suicide. And it turned out, of course, those claims were yet another lie. So apparently she had someone, either herself or someone else, send a fake email to everybody who was part of the World Trade Center Survivors Network saying she committed suicide.
Wow. How strange.
Just to kind of try to get them off her tail once and for all?
I guess, or to guilt them or something? I don't know.
It didn't sound like anybody was trying to chase her down, even. They were like, no, go away.
They've gone.
And once you're gone, cool. We're not going to hold a grudge. Like, and they were like, we're not holding a grudge.
Yeah.
Like, you're like the 14th most traumatic thing that happened to me.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, we got more traumatic stuff that's happened to us in our life. You know, we've lost loved ones. We've lost our jobs. Some of us have lost limbs, you know. Yeah. My hand is now stumpy, you know, stuff like that. I think I speak for everybody when I say, if you are not familiar with this subject matter, it is most highly recommended to watch.
But it's only about an hour. So.
Yeah, it's only an hour long.
But so much is covered in just 1 hour. Mm-hmm. That, I'm surprised that this has not been made into a biopic yet, because it is ripe for a biopic. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And it's, in a not bad way, it feels like it's longer than an hour. Do you know what I mean? There are things that feel like they're longer than they are because it's bad. This one, they just shove so much stuff into it in such a good way. And they lead you down this path. Because I was fully and completely unfamiliar with the story before I started this. So I had no idea who this was and what the story is. So I'm waiting for the turn. And when it hits, and it hits with like 15 minutes left in an hour long thing. And you're like, I've been taken down this road to this point, and now we find out. And there's some little breadcrumbs along the way. Like the guy's like, I wondered to myself, is this one of those people that just lies all the time? You know, and then they don't mention it again for 30 minutes. And you look up, there's 50 minutes left, and you're like, she was never at 9/11. She was never married. We didn't even get
She never even knew that guy.
The husband.
About how they weren't legally
married. Or how she even found his name or anything like that.
She knew him. I don't think he knew her.
No, yeah. He didn't. He was just like, who the fuck is this woman? You know?
Like how he was wearing the Hawaiian skirt and they had that whole thing where he asked her to marry him, and then like wild
stuff. The whole thing with the taxi and everything. Yes,
yeah.
All and of those knew, cute little stories.
And they knew, everybody knew all those stories. To the beat of each story. She told it the same way every single time, and everybody knew the beats to it.
She was well rehearsed, is what she was. She was well rehearsed.
Yeah.
Really, really wild. Anyway.
So this is available for free on Tubi, folks. And
gotta watch it. It's really
gotta
good.
Watch it. I highly recommend this thing. It was just, it was wild. It really was. So, yeah, this has been an interesting, like, trio of documentaries that we've watched this month. I can't wait to get on to, you know, not only The Aristocrats, which was just God,
I've got also, feelings,
but also Call Me Miss Cleo,
which I found some similarities in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Between this one and that one,
there's some accidental similarities, but also some stuff I didn't know about her and everything. Yeah. So pretty fascinating.
There is a theme, I think, that runs through all three of these documentaries. And the theme is, just because you're a sociopath doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person. I think that's the theme.
I like that. Yeah.
With Cleo, with her, and then with the entire cast of The Aristocrats, every one of those people is an insane sociopath. But... Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have Sarah Silverman making rape jokes, that's kind of sociopathic.
We'll get there.
Looking dead down the barrel of the camera.
Man, oh man.
Well, I'm not going to reveal on this episode yet what we're doing for the month of May, because as for the listeners who probably don't know, I have informed Andrew and Courtney that what we were originally going to do, which was the miniseries Fresno, we're not doing, because not all episodes are available to watch streaming online. However, I found something that you're going to absolutely love. And then that Sean Astin movie we're going to do, I'm saving that for a rainy day, because I found that something else was uploaded online. And it's only about an hour long. So we're going to watch this as well, but I'm not going to reveal to you yet what that is either. So you're going to have to wait for that. The suspense. What I am going to reveal, though.
Murder. First and foremost,
I want to reveal to all of our listeners, we finally got an email address.
What?
Did it. We're grown up.
Yes. So it is simply
geocities.com.
It is simply cultcinemacatacombs@gmail.com. That is the email, simplistic. I'm so upset, though.
/geocities.org.
sexy_ladybug-420@hotmail.com.
You know what, though? I'm so upset, because what I originally wanted was these films exist at gmail.com. Someone already claimed it.
Did you do it and forget?
No, and I was just like, someone else.
Did you pull McElroy?
No, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, when they claimed it, did they claim it as these films exist or are these sexist?
Yeah.
You know,
the film sexist.
So it makes me wonder if there's someone out there calling themselves the film sexist now.
Get in the comments. If you're the film sexist, get in the comments. We want to hear from you.
So please email us with your questions, your comments, your recommendations. If you want in on our Discord action,
please get in the Discord. We have fun.
Gotta get into the taffy pit, especially coming up.
Climb into the taffy pit, guys.
You want to get with us, especially this month, in the month of
you want to get with us.
We do have something that's going to be streaming. We're going to be streaming Tales to Poo Your Pants to 2024 on April 27th at 8:00 Central Time. So we're going to be streaming that, but we also have a very special screening coming up on Saturday, May 11th. We're going to be streaming the movie we're so obsessed with, Roar.
My favorite movie of all time.
And on top of that, anybody who is inside the Taffy Pit while watching Roar with us will have the opportunity to win, courtesy of Shout Factory for sending me extra copies of these that I didn't need. We're going to be giving away to one of the people that are in there a copy of the collector's edition of The Entity on Blu-ray, and then this giant Hawken box set of every Omen movie made except for the first Omen. So you got a chance to win these things. By the way, if you've not seen the first Omen, highly recommend it. Oh, my God, that movie has no right to be as good as it is, but it is. The birthing scene, I don't want to see the NC-17 version of, because, I'm sorry, birthing scenes, they didn't tell us that there were two extremely graphic birthing scenes in this movie.
Nice.
I didn't even see the one I was in the room for. The two, I guess, I was in the room for, and I'm good.
Yeah, it's they're rough.
You can't see down there. They won't let you.
Well, I'll say one involves...
they won't let you look this way or this way.
They don't let you look any direction. They're like, look in my eyes.
One involves a demonic hand coming out of a place you don't want to see a demonic hand coming out of.
Is it my butt?
No.
It's all out of Andy's butt.
And then the second one is a C-section gone wrong.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I did it.
I'm just thrilled that they're making a Pope's Exorcist 2.
We deserve it.
All I want in this world is the Pope's Exorcist 2.
The Pope's Exorcist.
The Pope's Exorcist 2.
Yep. Well, hey, it's Russell Crowe. Yeah, the Pope's Exorcist. Yeah,
the Pope's Exorcist.
All right, folks, tune in next time when we will be discussing the documentary Call Me Miss Cleo. We're going back to the late 90s, early 2000s.
Call me there.
Are we allowed to do it since it was fake when she did it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know, like...
I'm doing my accent. All I'm doing is an Irish accent.
Hear me now. Furry little leprechaun.
You call for their lucky charms.
I am slowly crossing over into the Swedish chef the more I do it.
Oh, kiss me, Blarney Stone.
One of my friends used to say the more quickly you say Aurora Monroe, which is the storm's name, it just ends up being a dog barking. And Aurora Monroe. That's just mine. With Call Me Now in an Irish accent, eventually it's just the Swedish chef.
It's just Burke Dork.
Yeah. You guys didn't see it, but... Courtney did a thing where she slid down into the taffy pit.
I fell in the taffy pit.
And when she got to the ultimate point of her slide, her hair in the back was up.
You can see
it. It looked like the tiniest Karen, because all you could see was this poof of hair back here, this over here, and then just from here up on her head, just from like the forehead up. And it was great. I just wanted to acknowledge that thing that you guys, you're working on video. You'll be able to see this at some point this year. You have my solid vow. You need to see it.
These bits won't just be for my guys all for that much longer.
Thesebitsexist.org.
This bit sexist.
Bit sexist.
The bit sexist.
All right, gang. We'll
we don't
see
usually get punchy in the first one.
Talk to y'all later. See you in the next episode.
Bye.